Welcome to the Voice of the Agent podcast. I'm Toby Martin. I'm joined by Rudolph the Reindeer, Simon Ledbetter, to bring you a special edition of the podcast. It's Christmas Eve as this is going out. We're feeling very festive, and usually in these podcasts, we bring you conversation based around Voice of the Agent data about the property industry. We are doing something slightly different today in that we're not talking about our own data. We're talking about data that has been compiled about the Great British Christmas. So over the course of this episode, you are going to find out all about how Britons spend their Christmases and also how the Ledbetters spend their Christmases. Are you ready to be interrogated, Simon?
I am always, and as your Santa, you're my boss. So yeah, you're absolutely. And
is that the Santa reindeer relationship? They're strictly employer employee.
No. It's worse than that. We all know that Santa's a fascist dictator.
Well, he doesn't pay them, does he?
Doesn't pay them. It's slave labor, and you know, they're essentially a minority. Quite frankly, it's quite oppressive.
And does that mean that as recipients of gifts at Christmas, we are all actually implicated in this?
We're basically enabling enslavement.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Ho, ho, ho. And as we know, okay. Hitler was very nice to children.
I was not expecting him to arrive in the podcast at this juncture. And the vegetarian, you know.
Absolutely, no turkey for him.
Right, but at some point he did start making bad decisions, and we are very much talking about people who are on the good list in this podcast today. And we're going to look at some data that's been compiled by the likes of YouGov and other reputable sources like the BBFC to see what the Brits get up to at Christmas, and you at home can find out just how average you are, how much in keeping with Brits you are, or whether you are statistically anomalous at Christmas time. So, Simon, when do you put up your tree?
The first thing is, when do I put up my tree? I don't.
We're back on the subject of slavery, are we?
Yeah, exactly. The Mrs. Claus and the kids do it. It's one of the things they do. Actually, every year they've done it. It's been wonderful. They do it during the day and in December. We don't do it earlier than December. We do it in December, as early as we can in December. A bit later this year because we moved to a new house. Anyway, early December. And the kids, every year for years, have done a time-lapse photo of them putting everything on the tree. So it goes up, they put it all on, and it's all done, and it's all very light and beautiful in there now, and then all the decorations go up around the house. So yeah, early December, but it's a Mrs. L and the kids task, so I come home basically to a beautifully Christmassy house after a day at work.
Well, you'll be pleased that early December is the widely accepted, acceptable answer to that question. But let's start this proper with looking at some of the great Christmas debates. So first of all, the chat we've been talking about, the slave master himself, the man in the red suit, what's he called? What's his name?
I think I'd instinctively call him Santa.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I would have guessed that the UK called him Father Christmas. And for some reason, I always think that Santa is American. But we're actually perfectly split on this. 46% of the population call him Father Christmas, and 46% call him Santa Claus.
And 46% are wrong.
Which?
Well, that's for the audience to decide.
But there is a generational difference here. 64% of under 34s say Santa.
I'm down with the kids.
You are young at heart. While 62% of over 65 say Father Christmas. And bizarrely, and I'd love to know the reason for this, 84% of Scots say Santa.
So you are. I'm a young Scot at heart. Who knew?
You are a brave heart.
Exactly.
Okay. So big question number two, and one that I fancy could end in violence.
Oh, dear.
Die Hard.
There's only one answer. I know.
According to the BBFC, there is an there is a majority answer to this question. Is Die Hard a Christmas film?
Of course it's a Christmas film.
It doesn't have Santa in it.
It's so the writer said it was a Christmas film. The director said, well, he didn't make it as a Christmas film. Actually, it is a Christmas film.
Yeah, but Hitler was nice to kids. How do we know who to trust?
No. It's quite definitely a Christmas film. If the writer, the person, the author, that's like saying that J.R.R. Tolkien was wrong about what The Lord of the Rings was about. You know, he wrote the book. So he's
I just
right.
don't get this. I don't get it. It's a film that's set in December. I just don't know what the Christmas theme is supposed to. Is John McClane supposed to be Jesus? Is Hans Gruber supposed to be King Herod or something?
I'm not sure. It's a complex metaphor, but you know what about Love Actually? I mean, it's that's another film. Not was it Love Actually? Well, whichever one is the film with Hugh Grant as the Prime Minister. You know,
yeah, Love Actually. Yeah, well, there's like Christmas gifting and Christmas
set
trees.
At Christmas.
And
that is set at Christmas. It isn't. It's actually about a dispute between the United States and the UK. I mean, that's not. It's actually quite appropriate. That's not very Christmassy, is it? No, it's a Christmas film because it happens at Christmas. That's why it's a Christmas film. It's a Wonderful Life, one of the best movies that's ever been made. Isn't really a Christmas film. It just snows.
But there's a message of kindness and you know family and to get I'm hearing myself here.
There's a message of yippee-yay mother, and that's Christmas Eve because that's sometimes how I feel about the kids at Christmas.
44% of the UK population say no, Die Hard is not a Christmas film, and 38% say yes, with 17% unwilling to voice an opinion on that one. It's just too dangerous. Statistically, it's not a Christmas film. Sorry. Okay, moving on. Christmas activities. What do we get up to at Christmas? I mean, this one, any idea kind of what you think the most popular Christmas activities are?
Eating turkey, opening presents. I'm from Lincolnshire, so actually going to midnight mass was quite a big thing, even for religious.
Only 15% of the UK population attend a church service
of course,
over Christmas.
Religion has nothing to do
with heathens. Religion has nothing to do with Christmas.
It's all about overconsumption and the eating your body weight in pigs in blankets, isn't it? That's the real meaning of Christmas.
Well, the most popular Christmas activity is watching a movie, as we've just been covering. 64% say pulling crackers. 58% eating mince pies. Mm. But this is another generational rift. Mince pie eating 69% if you're over 65. Only 41% of aged 18 to 34-year-olds eat mince pies. So that's a dying art.
Interesting.
Only 3% of people go caroling any longer. I presume it's too dangerous these days.
Yeah, and it's going to be quite a hardy, because of climate change and global warming. Yes, it is happening, whistle quirk. Because of climate, what would have been snow now tends to be rain. And it's probably not much fun Christmas caroling in the rain. But yeah, I think, and also I think you're right, actually, knocking on a stranger's door is not as the done thing anymore.
Well, I think if we're honest,
like trick or treating.
It's a pretty horrific experience for everybody because you get these home invaders who disturb you on your own time and you're then forced to stand and stare at them as they sing, usually terribly. And there's no escape for anyone.
Toby Scrooge Martin. I mean, Toby the Grinch. Bah humbug.
Tell me I'm wrong. All right. Talking about Scrooge at Christmas time. Be honest. Would you say that every Christmas you have a family argument?
No, we don't. And generally, there have been occasions. One of them was me having an allergic reaction to something that sent me doolally, and that wasn't good. And that wrote off Christmas. My youngest broke his arm on Christmas Day just as we were serving up Christmas lunch once. And had to spend 3 days in hospital with his mum. That wasn't much fun, but not an argument. Didn't cause an argument, caused a bit of grief. No, No, we're not one of those families that has an argument.
Well, but you do get a great many people who say, yeah, sure as eggs is eggs, once the turkey's been eaten and the presents are open and Uncle Godfrey's had his fair share of whiskey, you know, politics is coming out.
Oh, God, no.
We're going to talk about Brexit and no one's going to talk until New Year's Day. But actually, only 2% of the population report an annual family argument at Christmas. So if that is you, you are a statistical outlier.
Wow.
65% say it never happens, which surprises me. Okay, moving on. We're coming back to sights and sounds. Mm-hmm. So we covered off Die Hard, but what is the best Christmas movie?
We all know it's Die Hard. I will literally die hard on this hill. It's Die Hard.
Only 11% of people agree with you.
Wrong!
Although that does still put it quite high up the list.
Wrong!
The undisputed king of the Christmas films is Home Alone. 19%.
Because
it's their favourite. Runners up, it then jumps down to 9%. Is Elf.
Brilliant film.
Love Actually at 6.
Awful film.
Awful and also troublesome in some aspects as well.
Yeah,
not aged brilliantly, has it?
No, it hasn't aged brilliantly. Home Alone's fantastic. And actually, it reminds me, there's a great movie with John Candy called I Like Me. It's about his life. What a nice guy. He has a bit role. He has a cameo role in Home Alone. If you know, you're part of the trivia club. But anyway, great, great actor. But I would say one thing you could do this Christmas is go and watch all the John Candy movies. Uncle Buck, Trains, Planes and Automobiles, a Christmas movie, a Thanksgiving movie, actually. Home Alone. You know, he had some real turkeys. Ha-ha! He had some real turkeys. But he had some absolutely amazing movies. So if you want a family thing, because I watched Planes, Trains and Automobiles with my kids and they've never seen it because it's a film from the 90s, late 80s. They loved it. It was brilliant. And there's a real classic there. So Home Alone's amazing. Home Alone, brilliant. Home Alone 2 is okay, apart from one cameo they have from a real weirdo in it. If you know, you know.
Someone else, I mean, it's the second person we mentioned in this podcast who is far right of centre and politically dangerous. Okay, I'd like to put a shout out for an often overlooked Coen Brothers film called The Hudsucker Proxy, which
brilliant
technically
movie.
I think is a New Year's film. It centres around New Year's Eve, but it's a wonderful seasonal film.
Is that the Hoopaloo, the hula hoop?
Yeah.
That's a brilliant movie.
The hula hoop, you know, like kids
Tim
play
Robbins.
With.
Tim Robbins. Amazing movie. Recommend
Fantastic.
That one. Love it.
Okay. Greatest Christmas song. Popular song.
Well, in the movie Kings and Queens, what's that group that you run? Great group to be a member of. I am trying to avoid Whamageddon, which is Last Christmas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, please, it is the 12th of December when we record this. I'm still dodging it. So please don't sing in it. Please don't sing.
Last Christmas comes in second in both most streamed and also the nation's favourite. It comes in second place in both.
Prokofiev's Troika, Sleigh Ride, obviously.
Not strictly a popular song. But the most streamed is Mariah Carey. In terms of sentiment, the nation's favourite song is actually Fairy Tale of New York, which fills me with much more confidence in the nation's...
Faith in our fellow Brits. Yeah. Now. That's such a great video. But actually, there's a great dissection on TV about how that video is the most batshit video that's ever been created and how they made it. It's literally insane because there's so many inconsistencies. And
I'm gonna have to look that up.
But I'll find a link to it. We'll share it when we share this out because it's.
I'll
it's
put
very,
it in the show
very,
notes.
If you like that song, watch the video. It's a brilliant making of movie.
Fantastic. Top Carol, Christmas Carol.
Oh, for me, I think I know the answer because I've seen it somewhere else. But I love King Wenceslas. And it's a
yes,
great
that's a very that's brilliant. The top one I think is trite and it's always sung by small children who actually sound thin and reedy and it's
the Grinch is out of force.
I just want to hear a carol belted out by a Welsh male voice choir, not a castrato. And
To the editors of this film, I would like at every one of these points for him to be turned into a green Grinch at every point.
But hey, I'm editing this.
Toby, make sure you're a green Grinch at every single one of these points.
28% of the public say the best carol is Silent Night.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. See what I mean?
Oh, it makes me feel sick.
All right, just to be briefly on brand, I thought we'd very quickly touch on Christmas adverts. And come on, give me your take on the AI debate. Coca-Cola and McDonald's savagely lambasted in some corners of the public for their AI adverts. Unacceptable?
Well, you know what? I mean, my problem is I am a data geek, so I really care. I almost like what I think doesn't matter, because what the data says is the most important to the public mind. Now, I actually, if you watch that McDonald's, is it the Dutch one that was pulled?
Yes.
It was a European one, wasn't it?
That's right.
And actually, as a premise for a story, it's a really good one. If they'd got real actors and filmed it genuinely, I think we'd have all gone, that's quite a funny story. Okay, I get
Which
that.
Which is very funny because the official reason they gave for pulling the advert was they didn't say a single thing about it being AI generated. And they said the tone of the advert wasn't universally liked, nonsense. Which I'm sure I think might have been a bit of an excuse.
Yeah, that
a bit of PR
nonsense.
Because I actually thought the tone of the advert and the story was pretty good.
I thought it had humour. It was good, but it was so blatantly AI. And some of the things just weren't that good. I mean, they were very clever, but they weren't that good. Had it been real actors and real things? I mean, I think the, is it the Waitrose one with Keira Knightley?
Yes, and Joe Wilkinson.
That's brilliant. I think the John Lewis Waitrose ads consistently knock it out of the park. And I know, I talk about the data. I know from the guys at System One who actually analysed the people love the AI holidays coming ads. You know, there's...
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a bit of dodginess in them. I think, of course, if you're a creative or a video maker, it feels a bit of a threat to your life.
I saw a LinkedIn thread and someone was in the comments saying, the wheels on the trucks are inconsistent. And I'm sat there thinking, no consumer at home is going to watch that and be thinking to themselves, well, the chassis on those lorries are inconsistent. It's just not.
And people go like, oh, all this AA creation stuff is bad. Oh, God, evil EBI creation. Have you read the Daily Mail? That's created by humans. That's bilge water. I mean, ugh.
Daily Mail, we're back to Hitler again.
I mean, yeah. Hurrah, the black shirts. No, who's it said? Guillermo del Toro, the amazing director.
Yeah.
He says, I don't fear artificial intelligence, I fear natural stupidity. And I am with that line the whole way. I think there's some bad uses of AI. You know, Grok, awful. But, you know, humans have been very good doing stupid things for a very long time without AI to help them. So, you know, I think we're going to be fine in terms of producing stupid stuff.
Are there any Christmas adverts from years gone by that live particularly fondly in the memory? I struggled with this one, so I had to do a bit of research. So you know, I won't fault you if you can't come up with
that's
one.
Really weird. It's actually no.
Yeah.
I think
I think that's because the big adverts at Christmas are actually quite consistent year on year. The Coca-Cola adverts are always very... very consistent in their branding. The John Lewis adverts, while the story changes, the story arc is identical year on year.
Yeah.
So they blend together. There was one that I found that came out consistently when I was looking for this, which I went and watched back because I couldn't remember it, and it was rather lovely, which was a Sainsbury's advert featuring Mog the Cat, from the Judith Kerr book.
Yes.
And Mog the Cat basically ruins Christmas by destroying everything. But it's a lovely and beautiful advert.
Okay, honourable mentions then, because actually it was the Sainsbury's one, which was the First World War outbreak of peace one.
Yeah.
Amazing soundtrack, great video, amazing videography. And actually, one of those things where you go, I think I might have a mote of dust in my eye. Because it was actually really poignant. And, you know, actually, yeah, I think, you know, John Lewis, Waitrose, of course. And the reason why you have Sainsbury's is to keep the riffraff out of Waitrose. But... That's a Stephen Fry line. That's not mine. But Sainsbury's, honourable mention to Sainsbury's. Yes, they have done a couple of corkers. I give them credit for that. Well done, Sainsbury's.
Okay, we're moving on to the big day.
Oh, yes.
Will you have turkey on the table?
Good question. Yes, we will, because there's so many of this year. So we've got family sending. We would normally, as there's normally just four of us, have chicken, because the kids don't are not a big fan of turkey. And my eldest, Becca, doesn't like turkey or the roast at all. She will be having sushi.
Well, that's not on my list. But chicken is the second most popular meat at Christmas with 24%. 57% will eat turkey. Beef at 23%. But the most popular item on the plate... What do you think?
Roasties.
Yep. 81%.
I would happily have a plate of roasties.
How many people do you think want Brussels sprouts on their plate? What percentage?
Well, I love them. Mm. It's got to be a tiny minority, because I know most people, they're fart machines, aren't they?
They are, yes. I've heard it said.
It's normally grandma sitting in a corner... foosting all afternoon. There is, we really shouldn't have given her Brussels sprouts. But no, I always think it's going to be a minority, but then you're going to surprise me, aren't you?
That awful moment at the end of Christmas Day when you're trying to work out if grandma's had too many Brussels sprouts or if she's just expired on the sofa. Surprisingly, 68% of people want, yes, Brussels sprouts on their plate, which they're not as hated as we think.
We're not supposed to call them Brussels sprouts, aren't we, anymore? Because the Sprout Marketing Board, I think, said calling them Brussels was basically having an EU problem. So I think they're supposed to be... Oh, that's really good. I actually got my hands behind my head. They go behind my antlers.
For those of you listening on Spotify, Simon has AI horns on his head, and he's just discovered them.
Horns?
Oh, antlers? I'm sorry.
Antlers? I'm not some sort of devil.
Okay, this one I know can divide people. Should you have a Yorkshire pudding with your Christmas dinner?
Of course you should have a Yorkshire pudding. Yes. I mean, technically and religiously speaking, to the sacrament that is Yorkshire puddings, they should be served as a separate dish first, with a very nice onion and carrot gravy. Because that's
You have it like as a starter.
Yeah, that's what you do in Yorkshire.
Oh. I didn't know.
Yeah. But if you go to Yorkshire, then if you go to a proper Yorkshire house, not some strange urban metropolis like Leeds, but go to a proper wilds of the Yorkshire moors and have a Yorkshire pudding, they will serve you the best onion and carrot gravy you've ever had on a Yorkshire pudding. And it's unbelievably nice. And then you have your roast. We will be having ours on our roast, because we'll probably have salmon as a starter, I suspect.
Well, only 49% serve Yorkshire pudding, so it does split the crowd.
51% are wrong. I think we had a vote like that recently where 51% got it wrong as well.
Okay, on the home straight here. So I want to address, I'm going to just run through this without comment. Women are three times more likely than men to do all the decorating work.
Shock horror.
And the present shopping.
Shock horror.
Yeah, I'm going to move on from that.
Yeah, let's not dwell on that.
No.
As two pale male sales, we probably should just shut up now, yes, and just feel suitably shamed.
And feel deeply ashamed of ourselves and make a unconvincing pledge to do better next year. The King's Speech, are you a fan?
I'll often watch it, but on catch up, because actually I'm kind of interested in what they say. But no, I won't watch it live, because I'll probably be mid-turkey fest at that point. And if I do watch something immediately, it'll be the alternative ones, normally on Channel 4.
Yes.
But we have an even better one this year, don't we?
We do. So going out on Boxing Day, we have the King of Marketing delivering a rousing speech to the nation. you will find
Boxing
that.
Day? Christmas Day?
Oh, is it going out Christmas Day, is it?
It's going out Christmas Day. It's going out the Christmas week at 3 o'clock on Christmas Day.
I thought you were wanting to pip the actual king to it.
All right. I see.
King of Marketing.
Oh, no, Christmas Eve. Christmas, no, you mean Day. Christmas Eve. Well, this has become an internal work discussion now. It's definitely Christmas Eve, because that's when the newsletter goes out, Insider Knowledge.
So on Christmas Eve, make sure you gather all the family around the iPad to hear what Simon has to say from his throne. I don't mean he's not doing it from the toilet. I mean, we've got him on an actual throne.
Can do next year.
Okay, so to round this off, let's have a look at this then. So preparation and cost.
Yes.
So in terms of decorating, we covered that. Most people think late November is acceptable to decorate.
Okay.
Trees, real or artificial?
Ours is artificial, but I do miss a real tree.
Well, you are in the majority, and actually quite a staggering majority. I was really surprised by this. Only 18% buy real trees. Yep. 76% of us have an artificial tree, which means that actually, I think I'm not that good at maths, but there must be an element who don't know.
There's always an element. It's really weird. About 11% of estate agents don't know if they've had a pillow fight or something. It's right ridiculous. There's something wrong with them. But something wrong with more than 11%, to be honest with you. But, you know, let's say 11% don't know. If you are getting a real tree, and it's probably too late now, is go and get a recycled one. Because the ones that they replant or the ones they take off other trees, it means you don't actually cut down a whole tree. And actually, yeah. In London, parts of London, you can rent your tree. And once you've used it, you send it back and get it back each year, which I think is a wonderful idea. Because there's nothing better than the real smell of pine. And I get that. But also, if you just keep the tree and leave it as long as you can, you touch it and all the pine comes off and you have been hours hoovering. So, yeah, we're artificial park because we've got children who will just knock into it all the time. But I would like, I think, in a couple of years' time to get a real tree again because they are quite special.
Yeah, we have a real tree. Mrs. Martin cannot be dissuaded from...
And she is right. She may be in a minority, but she is
statistically.
Right. Not statistically.
So... But I would never tell her that.
No. I think you just have told her.
If I ever did, it would be useful to have the data of the entire nation to back me up. So we've reached the end of our data trawl through British behaviour at Christmas. If you want to enjoy the statistically perfect British Christmas, this is what you need to know. You need to be watching Home Alone, eating roast potatoes and turkey, listening to Fairy Tale of New York with a plastic tree that went up in the first week of December, calling the big man Father Christmas, unless you're young or Scottish, leaving the majority of the decorating and shopping to the women, although we personally advise against this, ignoring the king, and spending, we didn't get to this, on average about £550. That is the median spend on Christmas on gifts, food, which I fear I might have exceeded.
I need to send that memo to my wife because I fear we have exceeded the average spend by some considerable margin.
If you hadn't left the majority of the decorating and shopping to her, you wouldn't need to send it to her.
With that, I will
wish you a very Merry Christmas, Simon, and everyone at home a very Merry Christmas.
And a very Merry Christmas to everyone too. Cheers, Toby.
Bye-bye. That was fun.